Hey, I'm Bob Runkle, and for as long as I can remember, I've loved pop culture. Despite the challenges I've faced in my life, pop culture has always been there for me. I love talking to people and being a platform for others to share their thoughts, stories. Because if there's one thing I never get tired of, it's seeing driven, talented, and inspiring individuals follow their dreams, no matter what obstacles are in their way. And I know a thing or two about that. Welcome to the DJ Bob Show. I'm DJ Bob. Roll it. Diversity and inclusion, when I was a child, was somewhat of a novelty. It wasn't really there. I mean, you had characters on Sesame Street that exemplified people like me, but there wasn't really a show where disability and inclusion in general was at its core. And I'm thrilled to say that the creator of the longest-running animated kid show in history, his son and writer Peter Hirsch, have come up with the brilliant show Hop, premiering today on Max. I have a roundtable discussion with all three of them talking about this wonderful show where empathy and inclusion and acceptance and also whimsy and fun are on the menu with this show. And I loved hearing the stories from the creatives, and I really hope you check out this show. It is so special to me. When I saw it, I knew I had to talk about it. And I hope you enjoy the chat with Mark Brown, Tolan Brown, and Peter Hirsch. Enjoy. Guys, I'm so thrilled to have all of you here to talk about this incredible show. Why don't we go around the room and introduce ourselves? Okay. Mark, you first.
Okay, I'm Mark Brown. Worked on Arthur for many, many years and was looking for a new adventure, and I think I found it.
And it's such a great adventure to be on, and I'm so excited to talk with you about it. Tolan?
I'm Tolan Brown. I'm also an Arthur alum of many years, and fortunate enough to be one of Mark's offspring.
Or unfortunate.
That's not even possible.
And now this next one is a little reunion. Peter, so glad to connect with you again.
Yes, glad to connect with you, Bob. I'm Peter Hirsch. I'm also an Arthur alum. I was the head writer for about 20 years or so, and just very excited to be working with Mark and Tolan again, and get another bite at the apple of a children's show that means something to me.
And we play well together.
Yeah.
I was going to say, you didn't get sick of each other after 20 years?
No.
The opposite.
No, I think we were all kind of afraid that, like, oh, that's it. It's all over. So we were just like, no, that we're going on. And to this day, you know, we've all been working on Hop, but we continue to work on new ideas in our spare time, too.
There's no stopping us.
And we're so glad about that, especially me.
That's part of how Hop came together, honestly, was to create an excuse for us to all work together.
What I kind of gathered.
You are so right, Bob.
So this show is so wonderful because inclusivity is at its core. what were the first steps that you guys made to, you know, make sure that it was right, like connecting with the right people and making sure that everything was, you know, inclusive at the core?
You know, I think on Arthur, we occasionally had characters with disabilities, but they never became important characters that were ongoing. And we would hear from kids when we did these shows about how much it meant to them and how they could relate to these characters. And I think with Hop, we felt like we had an opportunity to do more and include kids that aren't necessarily represented on television or in the media, as they call it now.
And that sort of grew organically, you know, like the folk, it evolved from Arthur probably in a lot of ways, but, you know, our focus has always been to, or our desire has been to show things that are real for kids, you know? And so that there's a lot of different kids out there, a lot of different kinds of kids. And in thinking about all those differences, it kind of grew from there. And then we expanded that into, well, what would it be like to cast people that, you know, have more of a connection with these particular differences? I guess what they call authentic casting these days. But it really expanded organically in a pretty interesting and exciting way.
I love that so much, because I tell people all the time that we are so far in terms of diversity and inclusion. As much as it is something that people do now, it's always done because it has to be done, not because it should be done. And the series, you know, it moved me so much because you saw people like, not necessarily me, but people that I went to school with or people that I, you know, interacted with. Because for years before I went to public school, I was in a school just for people with disabilities. So I came across people with limb differences and people with autism and people with all these different things. So to see it in one place, digestible for a young audience, it was so impactful to me.
That's great to hear.
We worked with this wonderful group called Respectability because we wanted to make sure that representing these various disabilities, we did it correctly. We weren't doing, you know, showing kids things that were incorrect, and that they felt authentic and empowering, we hoped. So a big shout out to them. They've been an amazing group to work with.
And not making it all about that, the differences, you know what I mean? So like not making that the focus of what the character is, you know, it's just a part of who they are.
A part of them, yeah.
And that was actually one thing. There's one character on Arthur that was always really cool to me. This character, Marina, who was blind.
Oh, yeah.
And yep. She did become, a regular cast member on the show. She was featured a lot. And there was like almost no... It wasn't the focus of her character, you know, it was her relationship with Fern, another character on the show. And it was just a part of who she was. It wasn't the thing that dictated, you know, how all those episodes went. It was just a feature. And that felt important somehow to in treating it as normal.
Mm-hmm. I thought you were going to say George.
He was too. I mean, he.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, he was dyslexic,
but and of course, Carl too.
Yeah, and then Carl, and that was always the challenge, was that, and I think we tried to do that in Arthur to sort of say, like, well, why not just have this scene with Carl and not have it be about his autism, factor that in, but that's not what the scene is about. Mm-hmm. And, you know, but I think we came late to it in Arthur, in a way. You know what I mean? And the nice thing about starting out again with Hop is that, oh, these were just part of who these characters were. Mm-hmm. And they're all, you know, central to the story. They're not, you know, they're not walk-ons. So that was one of the nice things about starting up again from what we had learned on Arthur, starting anew, you know?
So we kind of jumped in a little, like, we kind of jumped in fast. So how would you guys describe the shelter audience who are about to see it? Because the day that we're posting this, a bunch of the episodes are available to stream. How would you describe the show?
Oh, Peter, what's that great quote that you had about?
It went through a lot of iterations, but I'll go back to the one that felt the most natural to me, which was, there's nothing better than being different together.
Yeah, it summarizes the show so beautifully.
Yeah, and basically the show is a silly comedy about friendship, but it's a world in which all of the characters are pretty eccentric, pretty different, and very unabashedly themselves. And that's just normal for them, you know? It's a little bit more of a fantasy world than Arthur. You know, we wanted to have a show where our characters wouldn't have a fantasy about meeting a troll. They'd actually meet a troll.
Yeah.
You know, so that was important to us. I think I kind of went off the rails. Did that describe the show?
Yeah. You know, if I had to make a bumper sticker for Hop and use two words to describe the show, it would be humor and heart. And I think those are two of the things that kids, I hope, will take away from watching Hop. You know, and he's just this little six-year-old frog who is trying to deal with issues that come up, mistakes he makes. And it's being a part of a group of friends that I think we show kids the power of working together and the power of friendship and what they can do. And they don't always get it right, but I think it's reassuring to kids that he feels like them. He's, you know, every kid.
Empathy was a word that we used a lot to describe the heart of what the show was.
Absolutely, because none of the characters feel bad for the other person. Hmm. It's always just, I'm with you on this. I understand you. I will help you. I will guide you along. And something that really I saw from minute one of the first episode I saw was that it wasn't trying too hard to be, oh, we have to be inclusive, so we have to make everybody stand together and sing and be inclusive. It was just baked into the series DNA, and that's what I picked up on.
That actually means a lot to hear that. Thank you.
Yeah. And, you know, we really wanted it to be silly.
Totally is.
I would run into people who would ask me sometimes about Arthur. And sometimes people would say, like, you know, oh, I really love that series. It was really important to me. You know, have you ever wanted to write a comedy? And I was like, I always thought Arthur was really funny, that, you know. But, you know, so I think with this show, and because we let, you know, you could say a hop lives on a houseboat and there are dragons. I think we sort of gave ourselves like, okay, let's like push the silly a little bit. Yeah. Let's, you know, let's make it more physical and stuff. You know, Arthur was kind of like suburbia, like a real world, you know? And this, we were like, no, let's get away from that.
And working for younger kids, I think that gave us the opportunity to get a little sillier, put on our silly shoes and dance.
What was the biggest learning curve for you all, especially Mark and Tolan, working or writing and creating something for a younger audience? Because Peter, you've done preschool before, but these guys really haven't.
Yeah, well, Peter is our guide, and he really it lays the foundation for every house we build. And I just admire so much the way he is able to work with the writers on the show. And you made, I have it here somewhere in front of me, Peter, the guidelines that you laid out for the show early on. There should be a little whammy, a big whammy, lots of big visual fun moments. Action is essential. What is the issue? And what do kids take away from each show? And how are we optimistic? How do we show kids empathy and persistence, repetition? Nonsense. I think these are some of the things I got from Cheryl, who was an advisor for us educationally. Kids like routine. They like pretend play. They like chickens. So I have this in front of me, and it just it's such a simple, wonderful guide for what some of the important things that Hop is all about.
I feel like this show has so much. Another thing that I really hope that families get from this show is the next time they're on the street and they see somebody different, they'll relate it to a Hop story that they just saw.
Yeah. Well, you know, each of these stories is an opportunity for parents to share their thoughts and their values with a child. When you sit down in front of a screen, there is this magic that can happen between the screen and the parent and the child. And, you know, we hope that we're giving families these opportunities to have those important conversations. The shows are, at their best, conversation starters.
Creating the dialogue, creating, that's what it is. You're creating the dialogue. And if a and if the next couple months, a kid goes to school and sees somebody different, mm-hmm. they might latch on to something that they saw yeah. on Hop.
That was one of the great things about Arthur is that, you know, when we're making this stuff, you're in the bubble sometimes, just plugging away on it. But there were so many opportunities. You would run into people constantly that had an Arthur story about, you know, some impact, small and in some cases large even, on their lives. And it made you aware of what you were doing. In a way that's hard to always grasp when you're in the middle of doing it in a little room somewhere else. It like this stuff can be and hopefully will be meaningful to people.
I get letters almost every day from kids or young adults or older adults who grew up with our shows, and they want to share the impact that certain stories or the show in general had on them. And it's just, it makes you feel so good. And it makes you understand how carefully they watch these stories and take them in. You know, yesterday I was at the dentist to have a tooth extracted. And one of the patients that came in was this man who was maybe 3 foot tall. And it wasn't that I was drawn to, but how high the counter was that the people behind him were sitting, that he had to check in and say who he was and who he was there to see. And it was a reminder of this world is designed for certain types of people in many ways. And it doesn't always work so well. And I think we have opportunities to talk about that in HOP.
Yeah. And if I could get a little technical with you all, the Americans with Disabilities Act was passed in 1990, and we are still there are so many, like, finding parking for people with disabilities, finding accessible venues for shows or for even going to a bookstore. You really have to dig for the right place. It shouldn't be that hard.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that we're still dealing with that is nuts.
Yeah. I know in New York, it's like, everybody takes the subway, right? But there's like just a handful of like subways that have disability access, like where there's an elevator. Mm-hmm. So kind of imagine, like, it's hard to get where you're going no matter what. But when you have to take a bus to get to the subway stop that has the elevator, I mean, imagine how hard that is. And that's just like a really small thing, you know? So I think we've got miles to go, before we have a more equitable world like that.
But I'm saying that because HOP will provide kind of a gateway into what differences are like and hopefully create future change from the young viewers that will eventually see it. At least that's how I feel.
I'm really eager to see the responses we get from kids and parents about how we might be able to make a difference in this world for people who are dealing with disabilities. So I know that's in our future, and it's going to be really exciting to see what we do there.
Yeah.
Well, and that's part of why I think empathy was such a focus for us going into this, because a lot of people, sometimes when this stuff is presented, it feels like people are just getting talked at.
Yeah.
Shut down.
Yeah.
But if you move empathy front and center and start to, consider other people's feelings and situations, it can elicit a different response.
I want to talk to you all about your fantastic voice cast, because you've got some amazing talent here. Would you mind going down the list and saying, finding these people, because it's really special?
Well, Philippa, who is, we used to say autistic, but it's neurodivergent. And she was a student of Bruce, our director's, at an animation camp where he taught. And as soon as he saw this opportunity for a character's voice, he said, "Oh, I've got the perfect person." And he did. and interestingly, Charlotte, who voices Philippa, is very interested in animation. And just sent us all a show that she's developing with characters for us to look at and make comments on. And that was very interesting. I don't want to take up the whole space here. You guys have some thoughts about some of our other characters?
Oh, it was one of the most pleasant surprises in this whole in the voice casting.
Charlotte? Yeah.
It's a risk when you go that direction, and you know, it's a smaller pool that you're pulling from. You don't know what you're going to get, even when you're pulling from trained actors. You're not sure what you're going to get. There's a lot of searching.
Like the first recording that we did with Frida, and this lovely woman who was voicing Frida had her son setting up with Zoom. We can kind of see the environment where people are recording, and it was so sweet to see how her son was helping her get things in order before she recorded her session. And you know, everybody comes to these recording sessions with their A game. And it's so wonderful to watch them work. And you know, with Arthur, I was never allowed to be at these recording sessions. So kudos to Epic and the way Peter and Tolan and I work with them. They're giving us essentially the entire paint box to paint with. And when you're in a recording session, if the actor is struggling with a line, you get to rewrite it right there and see what feels right in the moment of that story. And that's something I never had the luxury of doing with Arthur or on any of us.
Yeah, it was a lot of improvisation. I remember Charlotte, who plays Philippa, you know, would just give us three different lines. Completely different, and she loved that.
Yeah, you know. Next.
Interesting. Yeah.
She became one of the most solid performers. I mean, she was money in the bank every time she showed up in the studio. It was pretty awesome. And I will add that Mark, I think, discovered a new talent that he possesses that is top notch voice director.
What?
he was amazing in all the recording sessions. It was pretty cool to watch.
You know, there was nothing like having just a smattering of theatrical experience when I was growing up before I went off to college. And I bring that to, I was surprised that I brought it to making picture books. You know, you're writing your script, casting your characters, you're costuming them, you're designing the sets. And with animation, all of a sudden, we had the luxury of sound and movement. And Tolan, you have added so much to the scoring. That is like way beyond my pay grade. And you...
me too.
Arthur was not scored, you know, completely. We had smatterings of music, but Hop is completely scored, and it's beautiful.
I noticed that. Because,
oh, really? Oh, yay!
Because Arthur
had... Hang off, Tolan.
Arthur had a set of music cues that would cycle in and out, but this is completely episodic-based scoring. And it's something that I noticed right away.
Oh, that's... thank you.
And Bob, you would be so impressed with the detail, the sounds that are suggested for certain moments in these stories, and what a difference they make, or the sound effects. Right after we speak with you today, we're going into a session with the young man who helps us do all of the sound effects and what those do. And that's another magical meeting for me that I really enjoy being a part of, because you see how that can really enhance what Peter has built for us. I mean, just certain sounds and if they're right, or is it a moment where you can add a sound that gives you comedy?
Yeah, it's interesting. It's, I used to think that, like, when you're writing a script, you're like making a meal for someone. And now having been in this process a bit more, I realized, like, no, the script is the assembling of the ingredients.
Yeah.
Then it gets cooked.
That's a great
and the way it gets cooked is by the animation, the scoring, the voice direction. So yeah, it's been a real education.
Everybody gets their hands in the pot.
Everybody gets their hands in the pot.
But that's one of the great things about this. Like with our trio, we each kind of have our different lane that we go in. But we're all still involved in each other's lane. So, and sometimes it's great to have somebody who's a little outside that lane who has a different, you know, they're able to see something differently or, that's like a huge, huge bonus in a project like this that you don't always have. It's like an embarrassment of riches across all these different sectors of the production. And then, and this is something I learned from Mark back in the Arthur days. It's like you really have to take ownership of the idea and have a vision for it, but then you have to create a space for other people to buy in, you know, and you never achieve that critical mass unless other people become committed to the project and care about it in the same way that you do. And that means making people's opinions valuable and just creating a creative space for stuff. And, Arthur had that too. I think Hop had even more of that in some ways. I mean, we were getting stuff from all over, from like Cheryl, the creative ideas from Cheryl, the creative consultant, educational consultant, and people Bruce. On the executive side, Bruce, letting like the score, for example, getting to the level that it was, where it's way bigger than Arthur.
Yeah.
That was kind of a process of letting the training wheels off this company, Eggplant, who does the music on the show. They got super involved and figured out where the limits were, and then they just, we let them run with it, and they turned out this pretty.
Well, I think what Eggplant was very surprised and excited about the fact that you could talk music with them, and you set the bar really high, and they loved that. They brought their A game to this show, and it's really impressive what's happened. I have to say my favorite part of Hop has been the very beginning, when the three of us were sitting around the table and we had these characters, or a character might emerge in our conversation, and the potential that we gave each of them. And then Peter would go off and work with the writers and make these stories happen. It's that initial building of the toys that we got to play with that for me was most exciting.
So Peter, you told me a couple of years back, at least in terms of Arthur, you said they can do anything but have sex or curse.
and kicking.
Yeah, there was that. Yes. So what are the do's and don'ts as far as this show? Is there any really things like that?
Well, they still can't have sex and curse and kick.
No, it's on HBO now.
That's true.
maybe we can reconsider.
You know, with the exception of, we have these characters, the beavers, right? And that's Ronnie, Lonnie. And then there's Alfred, who's like a good beaver. But with the exception of that, like, and this is going to sound a little saccharine, but like everybody has to be pretty nice. Like, and I don't mean that there's no conflict. You'll see there's a lot of conflict.
Yeah.
But that people treat each other pretty well. You know what I mean? In this show, like, I think back to, like, you know, like DW, and like, we all loved DW and she was wonderful, but you know, she was really harsh in some ways, you know? And I think people just in general treat each other better in this show. And in some ways, I think that kind of reflects the time we're in. Like, yeah. The young people I know, like, are actually just a lot better to each other than when I was growing up. It's surprising. I'm not quite sure why or how that happened, but it seems true to me. So I would add that. But you know, there's not a lot of rules, I have to say, for this show, which I think is...
Which I guess is better for you because it's a bigger sandbox for you guys to play.
Yeah, and also, like, I want writers to write about what actually matters to them and not what they think should matter to children. You know what I mean? Like, I want it to be personal, because any good kids show will be relevant to adults if you were to use different language and things like that. The emotional core of it should be applicable to a 40 or 50 year old, I think, you know?
Yeah.
And I think everybody involved with this show really respects kids. And yeah, that's important.
Yeah. I mean, it's hard to, you want to portray a world where people treat each other well, but it isn't boring or unrealistic. So, I mean, that's what threading the needle is for this show. You want to turn it off and feel good and feel like, yeah, people are good. But you wanted there to be conflict and to find it realistic. You know, that's the challenge.
When I watched the series for the first time, I turned it off and I said, "This is what kids really go through. Everything is from a kid's point of view. There's no big bow at the end. It's just, if it isn't perfect, it's okay."
Yeah.
And it's, you know, there doesn't have to be this very special episode kind of tactic. It's just there.
You know, there was one episode, I don't know if it was in The Batch that you watched, where it hasn't rained in a long time and Hop is just basically very sad about it. And, you know, we have these characters sort of trying to fix that sadness, but one of our characters sort of says, like, you know what? No, it's okay to be sad. Just let him be sad. And that's kind of where we end.
Yeah. It's okay to feel your feelings. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And
they're just feelings, for heaven's sake.
They're feelings, and everybody feels sad, and, you know, it doesn't have to be fixed. And I think that's kind of an overall attitude we took towards this show, you know, of like, we want to show the positive, but as you say, we don't want to put a bow on it.
Yeah. You know? Mark, before we started recording, you asked me if I can ask you deep and philosophical questions. Well, I'm not going to ask any deep. I'm not going to ask you anything deep and philosophical, but I am going to ask you something a little controversial because I can.
Okay.
So you guys have been working together for a long time. Some of us in the room our entire lives. But
since the last century.
So what was the biggest argument you had while crafting this show? Is there anything that you disagreed on that started out as like a disagreement, but you found a compromise?
Oh my gosh. I can't think of any major disagreement where, you know, we were throwing things at one another. Peter Tolan, can you think of, we kind of...
Or just an idea that we like had to be fleshed out.
There's the listening bell.
Yeah, right. I keep asking for the listening bell, and Peter won't put it in the story. No,
I totally will. From the very beginning, like from like literally 5 years ago, Mark was like, you know, I really think there should be this bell somewhere And when everybody's talking all over and someone needs to be heard, they ring the bell, and it's the listening bell, and everybody is quiet. I thought it was a great idea. And we kept saying, like, yeah, we're going to get to that. We're going to put the bell in. And we never got around to it. And Mark was always like, where's my bell? That's the only thing I can think of, really. It was a surprisingly, I think, harmonious group. I mean, I can't think of one person.
There's like two parts to that, because like, we have a lot of discussions where there's different opinions. So that, I mean, there's like, we have a lot of different ideas.
Saying a fight broke out. I just want to know if there's anything that started out as something that you kind of were like, I don't really agree with this, but then you change your tune a little bit. Or
I didn't agree with Peter's version of a hoot at first.
Oh, right.
And I kept trying to embrace this character that Peter so clearly saw and knew. And I mean, and she's turned out to be one of my favorite characters. You know, maybe
I love her too.
Our biggest fights were probably over donuts.
Probably.
Which pastry we should have.
I'll join you in that fight.
We threw a lot of spaghetti against the wall. I mean,
I was thinking, remember, we pitched it to PBS like very early on.
Yeah.
And Linda Semensky was the head of that division or whatever at PBS at the time. She's since left. But, you know, so we had all these ideas. We had the great characters. And then she'd say something like, what about a squirrel? And we'd leave the Zoom and we'd say, okay, let's change it. Philip is a squirrel now. And
you were just doing it to comply. Yeah.
Well, yeah, because we wanted to be on the air, and we're like, well, yes, maybe she wants squirrels. And so, you know, that was the type of change that we did inorganically, but then we kind of rolled with it and was like, oh, actually a squirrel that kind of lives in the treehouse and doesn't like jumping and is very like straightforward, like that could be really fun. So then we were like, thank you, Linda.
It was another unrepresented character, animal on television. Just like Arthur, you know, how many aardvarks were there? Squirrels were needed.
That's true.
Beavers were needed.
We had chipmunks.
Yeah, we did.
Justice for squirrels.
Yes.
Well, and then that led to the treehouse, obviously, squirrel treehouse. Right. That's an easy jump. And the treehouse is a pretty cool location. It's one of my favorite locations.
And it allowed us to think of her as this great inventor and architect and builder. And so it was a way to show off some of her talents. I remember being very excited about drawing where Philippa lived.
Oh, yeah. That was. Yeah.
Just great things. Oh my gosh, there are like ladders and swings and all kinds of fun things up there.
The world building is really fun.
Yeah.
Like, you should see at some point, it'd be fun to show you, Bob, like the maps that Mark drew. Like, you know, they're kind of for the writers, but they're works of art in themselves.
And yeah, I'd love to see
really
that.
Beautiful, actually. Yeah.
I just have to say this. When I saw the show, I just felt comfortable watching it, because it just made me feel at home. Like I knew these characters. And that takes a long time to establish a world, especially in a new children's show. It's not off the bat like that. Always. So that is something that I wanted to share with you all.
Well, thank you.
Thank you very much.
Because, like I was saying before, the representation when I was a youngster watching this stuff was next to nothing. And the fact that it's now there, it makes my heart happy that other kids like me can feel what I wanted to feel.
That's great.
That's great.
So for each of you, what has working with the disability community taught you? I mean, you worked a little bit in it with Arthur, but you're really diving in head first with Hop. What surprised you about us? What did you learn from us?
How much we're all alike, you know? That's the thing that I hope people can take away with. You know, each of us is a unique being, and we have so many similarities. And I that's one of the things I like about HOP is how we level the playing field.
Yeah. I think, like, for me, it's you don't have to treat people with kid gloves, you know? And, like, you know, I think there's a lot of fear, like, when you're first, you know, working with someone disabled, that you're going to do something wrong or something.
No, and that's even in public.
Yeah.
There are so many parents that when their kids have a question about disability, they're like, you can't ask them that.
Right, right. So working with this company, like Respectability, and working with some of our actors, I was really reassured that it's like, first thing, it's not about getting something right or wrong. It's about just, you know, treating people with respect and love. And also, like, people will tell you, they'll say, no, you know, it's better if you say this or something. And so that, you know, I just, I guess I just feel more comfortable in that world now. And that's what I hope. That's what I hope for all of our viewers, that it's like, you know, this is people, you know.
It's opening a door for kids. Yeah.
From a, you know, just production standpoint, it made me realize how just grossly underrepresented these various communities are in the acting
world. Yes.
There's not a lot to draw from. And then also that they are good enough that they don't have to be sequestered to specifically those roles. You
or
know?
Coddled.
They have the ability to be actors in their own right and should be allowed to do that.
I totally agree, and I feel so strongly about this show, because hopefully this will wake casting directors up and make them think, oh, you know, maybe I should cast a few people with differences on my show. Because you're planting the seed for that right here, right now.
Yeah. Yeah. I'd love to time travel 10 years from now and just see how things are different.
Because I did the math, Peter, as we've been talking. I met you 5 years ago when you were developing this, right when. So it's just so fitting that you're working on the show and then you and I become really close and you're peeking into my life and what I go through. It's kind of funny how that worked out.
Yeah, that's great. 5 years.
Yeah.
They just fly by now.
Yeah, you're married.
This has been such a great conversation. I really hope a lot of people get to listen to this.
Me too. And that's exactly what this is. I didn't want it to be an interview. I wanted it to be just all of us chatting, because when you told me, when I heard about HOP, I knew I had to cover it, because, like I said, this show felt like, it sounds weird, but I took ownership of this show and I took ownership of Arthur. Mm-hmm. But this is my show because it's people like me.
Mm. Yay!
And that's what we want. So yeah. Where can people check it out? It airs today. It starts today.
Wow.
So where can people find this?
They can find it on Max, HBO Max. And how many episodes do we have?
I think it's the first six, and then the rest are launching.
We have 26 episodes to share the first year, and then we're finishing up 26 more for a second season.
Well, it's six paired, right? So it's two shows.
On launch day, and I think the rest are coming like September, like the fall.
Yeah.
They're spacing out. So, April 4th, we're on. We're on.
And you can breathe a little bit.
Yeah.
We're still doing it.
I know, you know, we're still putting the icing on the last cakes.
But now you don't have to worry about the whole thing. What are they going to think?
Yeah, exactly. It's too late. It's on the air.
I love you guys so much. Thank you guys for joining me.
Thank you, Bob. Thank you so much. So glad.
Thank you.
I'm glad we're doing this.
It was really nice to hear your reaction to the show right now. It's really kind of a needed lift in the middle of production.
I mean, that's the goal. Because when you are making art like this, you deserve to know what you're doing. And I'm so thrilled I got to talk to you guys today.
Yeah.
Likewise.
I'm sure we'll do it again at some point.
Yeah.
Okay. Love, respect, and gratitude.
Yeah, thank you, Bob.
Talk to you guys soon.
Buddhist.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.
Thanks for hanging out with us at the DJ Bob Show. If you liked this episode, drop us a line at djbobrunkel@gmail.com. That's djbobrunkel@gmail.com. Let us know what you liked most about this episode and what other guests we should have on the DJ Bob Show. Thanks so much again for hanging out with us. This is Nate Beagle, your humble announcer.